So welcome everyone. In the last month, we have both quit our jobs. We've both decided to do a podcast, and we have absolutely no idea where this is going to head. We had no plan when we quit our jobs, but one influenced the other. Andra quit first. My name's Jackson. I quit 30 days later, and here we go.
Here we are.
So basically, what we know is that a lot of our friends have sort of been feeling the same as well. I think we're in an age now, the digital age, everything's speeding up. People don't stay in jobs for 10, 20 years like they used to. And the question gets thrown around a lot by the older generation: aren't you guys just too entitled? Don't you expect too much? And I absolutely don't think it's the case. There's loads of people who will sacrifice insane wages, which we've done ourselves in startups. I think we'd rather a pat on the back than a 10 grand bonus. So Andra, what was it that sort of drew the last nail in the coffin for you? Why did you resign?
I think it goes back to what you were saying. It was a lack of fulfillment. And I think we spend so much of our time at work, and I don't think it's too much to ask out of your own life to not wake up every day and just enjoy what you do. And when you start waking up and you start dreading the work that you're doing, and you start dreading talking to the people that you're talking to, it just becomes a drag. I didn't have a place where I felt comfortable being or supported, being creative. I didn't have ownership over what I was doing. There was micromanagement going on, which just comes down to there was a lack of trust in me as an employee and somebody who wanted to contribute to the organization in greater ways.
So what would have to change for it to have been fulfilling?
We're going to be here for 10 hours.
Let's do it.
I think the culture, and that's the one thing that I look for when I'm working with anybody, whether it's a client or an organization where I'm going to spend 8 hours of my day, 10 hours, 14 hours, you know how it goes.
Yeah.
But I think when you have a really supportive culture with awesome people that are working together towards a common goal, and there's a lot of trust in each other's capabilities, that's what really creates that fulfillment for me anyway. Why did you quit?
Well, I think one of the things is acknowledging that when you're typing into Google, should I quit my job? That's probably a time to say hell yes. No, honestly, I asked myself three core questions, and I wanted to see the answers to all of them. What if my wage was to double? I already had a good wage, but what if they were to double it? Like, could money help with this? Like, you know, maybe I'm closer to buying a house or going on another holiday or whatever if I get this, you know, huge bonus. Could you put me in the position that I desire the most in the organization, or is there a position that I absolutely desire in the organization? And then could you throw me into a completely fulfilling environment, which is travel, executing on my own ideas, complete creation and all of that sort of stuff? And when the answer was no, no, and no, for me, it was like, okay, there's nothing here for me. There's no growth here for me now. That doesn't mean there won't be in the future, because I've actually worked for this organization years ago and there's insanely exciting vision. But at this current time, there was nothing for me right now out of those three levers. Now, maybe we're destined to create this podcast. Maybe I just needed a holiday. Who knows? But when I answered no to all those three questions, it was like, you got to get out, son. Pull the trigger.
So I want to ask you about that last one. So if they allowed you to execute on your own vision,
yeah,
why is the answer still no to that? Because that's when you first told me that. That's exactly what I asked you. How come? If they allowed you to travel, if they allowed you to do what you wanted to do.
I don't fully have an answer to that, but for whatever reason, it didn't feel right at the time. I mean, it was something that I absolutely wanted 3 or 4 months ago. Like, you know, to be paid to do what I want to do in an organization that's actually doing, you know, great things and growing at scale, and they know me, I have a track record there, and as do you. But if it doesn't feel right at that time, like for whatever reason, then maybe it's just not meant to be. I don't think it needs to have a clinical answer. The first two are probably a little bit more clinical, mm-hmm. like, because, you know, the things that we're striving for in our life these days are, you know, money or title. Like, they're the two superficial things, but it's literally what makes an employee like be able to say, I am this person from X, and look at the things that I buy or the way that I live my life. So those two were pretty easy to overcome. It was just like, that wouldn't solve it. But the third one being a bit of like, yeah, loving having a vision of my own, being able to execute on that, I don't think it would have fit in with the organization at the time aligning with their vision.
Yeah.
So I think that's the most pertinent one out of the lot, is like, even if I got all these dream scenarios, it's like, no, I need to leave. I need to not blame the organization for not making me feel as I wanted to. I need to look inside and not become the problem myself, and actually look at, okay, what do I actually want here? And I think, yeah, potentially I wanted to record a podcast, not about quitting jobs. It was something that I'd been talking about for a long time, but I also wanted to sort of be a digital nomad. And we have a, you know, a couple of clients that we look after on other little side hustles and side projects. Really, for me, it's not about a wage anymore. It's about trying to build something for myself that can add value to the world, add value to others.
Yeah, like at this particular company, when we first started there, just for everyone listening, so we started there initially on a 6-month contract, and I think that was really exciting because we did get to execute on some really awesome things that had the potential to grow. And for me personally, like, that was really exciting. And I don't know if I would have said no to the last question, you know, if there were global opportunities for travel, for us to get to execute what we created on a global scale. I think that could have changed my mind. But in that same breath, there was no hope of that happening. And I think after the 6-month contract was over, we got invited to stay on and work there full time. And I think we just, the reality hit that we weren't going to see the change that we wanted to see within the company, which meant we couldn't see the change within ourselves. You know, we started feeling like drones, as you say, which I think is an Australian term. I don't know. Maybe
not.
I'm
not sure where it comes from, but I'm assuming with like bees or something, you're just a worker.
Yeah, you're just a worker.
You don't get to create. You're just marching.
And that absolutely, like, for me, it just kills my creativity, kills my soul to just get to, you know, I don't want to wake up every day and just do the same mundane tasks and buzz around like a bee. And I think you're the same way.
Let's flip it a little bit though. Like, you know, we've got many big companies with very big visions. We've got a world that's scaling rapidly. The economy is doubling down, you know, every so often. It used to double down every 1,000 years or every 100 or so years. I think it's now every decade or every generation it doubles. And as AI increases, that's going to get shorter and shorter and shorter. I mean, we all have a role to play here. We've all got to upskill ourselves and, you know, make sure that we aren't automated. But in all of that, some people see it as, I guess, you're lucky to have a job. You know, do you really believe that we deserve to be entitled? It's quite a fluffy word. It's hard to quantify on a spreadsheet.
To be entitled or fulfilled?
Do we deserve to be fulfilled? Yeah. Both.
Do we deserve to be fulfilled?
Yeah.
I absolutely say yes to that.
Okay.
Hell why? Yes. Because you spend so much of your time at work. What, 30 to 40% of your life is spent at work. So I think it's absolutely devastating to think that you don't deserve to be fulfilled in what you do every single day, especially in this day and age. You know, maybe when our parents, you know, when my family immigrated from Romania to Canada, they had to set up a new life for themselves. So fulfillment wasn't the top thing on their list. It was having a steady and secure income to raise a family, which, you know, respect to that. But I don't need to do that.
Yeah. You know? I mean, fulfillment in a escaping sort of a not war torn. I don't know heaps about Romania at the time, but it was pretty, the Eastern Europe was pretty fragmented at the time. There was loads of wars all over the place. I'm sure. Yeah. Freedom was potentially high on their list, and creating some form of
a better life
for you.
As cliche as that sounds,
where you potentially can strive for fulfillment as a top category in what you're looking for in your life.
Which is why now I feel so dedicated to fulfillment, because, you know, what's it all worth?
It's not worth wasting what's been set up.
Yeah. And, you know, with the internet, like we talk a lot about this with internet, with technology, you have choice. And I think that's what I said to my dad when I went home for Christmas this year. He was saying, you know, are you good? At that time, I think we were in another transition in between jobs and contracts, and we had just started our own company, and he was kind of worried about me a little bit. And he was saying, you know, are you good? And I said, Dad, I have choice. I have choice in what I get to do every single day. And I hold that very near and dear to my heart now. And that's another reason why I quit, because I felt like that choice was being taken away, because the things that were put in front of me were things that I didn't want to do. So I took my choice back and I left.
So that's a pretty powerful word that I haven't thought of. But as I talked about entitlement as the wrong word before, do we deserve to be entitled? Well, if we haven't set ourselves up for choice, we probably don't deserve to be entitled. You know, we hear it a lot about young kids, like, oh, they're entitled, they want this, they want that. Well, if they have no skills and they have no value and they just want more money and more holidays and all that, well, then they probably don't deserve to be too entitled. However, if you've got the skill and you've earned yourself the platform of choice, then it's fair to say you can be entitled. I mean, I don't know if we were entitled by quitting our jobs or wanting more or expecting this and that, but basically for me, I traveled the world. I quit a good job when I was 21, traveled for 3 years, ran pub crawls and tours over in Lisbon, in Portugal, had an amazing time, lived in Canada, lived in Paris, all of this stuff, in Perth before that. Basically, for me, the reason why I stopped that was a pretty amazing life. Like, I didn't have a lot of money, but I had a lot of fulfillment, a lot of happiness, a lot of joy, a lot of beers as well, but met some amazing people. But why?
Which I'm sure we'll share on this podcast later, because you've told me some crazy stories. Yeah.
But what I needed, or what pulled me back to Australia, was that Europe was in the middle of a recession. I seen that tradespeople had, had no leg to stand on. Literally, there was no such thing as a builder or a landscaper, which a lot of my mates were, which I'd actually thought about being when I was younger. They only have, jobs such as electricians and plumbers who do maintenance. All the building was done. The economy was down. You know, people were shit scared of their reality over the next few years. They didn't know when they were going to get out of it. And thankfully, in Portugal, tourism really, really saved them and jacked up their economy. However, where I'm going with this is that I had to come home and get something, and I didn't know what that was that I was getting, or the treasure that I was going to find, or the skill set that I was going to sort of try and chase. But it was all about that word that you just said. It was, how do I give myself the ability to have choice over the next few years? Because I wasn't going to be a pub crawl leader for much longer. I wasn't going to be a landscape gardener in Paris for any longer. I didn't want to be a builder's laborer like I was years before. And the good job that I'd left at Hawthorn Football Club, being a recruiter, well, that seemed like the dream job because I love football and I love analytics, but it just wasn't. I don't know why. Again, it just wasn't. Like, and they could have offered me all those three things that I said no to about this opportunity, but it wasn't the right thing. So coming back home, it was about, how do I get skills? And funny enough, that skill was, for me, being able to tell stories or engage with people, build relationships, build culture in organizations. And I feel like we may have struck at the exact same time, that ability to just be like, I have a choice.
Yeah.
And confidence that something may come up in the next few months.
Yeah. But I love what you said there about earning voice and not being entitled, because I definitely know you put a lot of hours in and you always choose learning over a wage or learning over what looks good on paper. And for me, like, I started my career working for free for 3 months. Yep. I know a lot of people who are younger these days are like, are you serious? You worked for free? Especially when the minimum wage here in Australia is what, $20, $25 an hour?
It's pretty cushy.
Yeah. It's pretty cushy. Growing up in Canada, my first job, I got paid $7 an hour, but my first real job, I didn't get paid at all.
So the key thing is trying to identify when a workplace becomes toxic or when you become toxic in a workplace. And both can be six of one and half a dozen of the other. What I try and look at is basically, you know, what are the questions that I'm starting to ask myself when I'm either burning out or when it's coming to the end or when it's the right time to I guess sack that in. Mm-hmm. Do you have a couple that you were sort of asking yourself, Andrew, before you left?
Yeah. Let me think. Questions. It was more how I felt, because I think we've worked together for about 18 months now and we've done a lot of cool shit together and we've been inspired, fortunately, for a lot of that time together, along with the rest of our team, which obviously isn't here. But it was a really rapid decline, and I found that we were more negative in our conversations. And it was like one of our friends, Paulo, he said to me, because I said, you know, like when I was going through this, he said, what happens when you're in a situation where you're not fulfilled is you start having those negative thoughts that just creep in, and all of a sudden your mind's on a loop. And that was definitely happening for me. It started becoming harder for me to wake up in the morning.
Six or seven snoozes.
I normally wake up, you know, I wake up, I meditate for an hour and a half a day. At some point, certain times I was waking up at 4 a.m. to meditate before our 6 a.m. meetings. And now I couldn't even get up by 8 o'clock. So I was thinking, this is off. I was rushing to exercise and rushing to do yoga, but it wasn't so I can relax. It was like, because I need this, you know. There was a sadness over my life. Like it just became hazy. So then I started asking myself, like, why am I doing this to myself? Is this really necessary? Why am I staying? And then some probably more damaging questions of, is it me? Or is it that I'm just complaining? And I think everybody goes through this as well. Like, am I just being entitled? Should I just be grateful? What are the positives? I was trying to convince myself into staying, which I think everybody needs to go through. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think those moments where I did feel like maybe I shouldn't quit because I was entitled, it's a bit scary, because I think that's where people could stay for a very long time.
I think there's a bunch of like pretty superficial questions that you can ask in the beginning, like, am I underpaid? Like, am I overworked? Am I undervalued? Like, you know, am I being micromanaged? Like we've chatted about a couple of these things, but mm-hmm. like then it's getting to a point is like, is this stressing me out? And is this good for my mental health? Yeah. Is this good for the mental health of those around me? Yeah. Am I treating my partner the right way? Am I showing up as the best version of myself to my friends if I catch up with them, or my parents, or my housemates? Like, you know, again, am I sluggish? Do I have to meditate just to, I know you said this earlier today, I had to meditate or go to yoga just to recalibrate, not to actually relax and actually free up some creativity in my brain. It was actually just to zero out, just to get back to normal. So then the next day, the cup would overflow again, and then you'd have to get back to normal. But it was like the whole point of meditation or mindfulness or really any form of exercise or healthy eating is to enhance your current state. And I think when we're starting to do these things just to
survive,
just to calibrate or recalibrate again and survive, yeah, get into that fight or flight moment, that's when we really got to ask ourselves, is this really worth it? Is the juice worth the squeeze? If you're squeezing a whole lot, Andra, and there's not a lot of juice coming out, it's fair to say that it's not really worth your while.
What was the defining moment for you? Like, was it, did you ask yourself some of these questions? Did you have a realization?
Yeah, good question. I think it probably wasn't a defining moment. I was getting really frustrated to the point where I was like, okay, I'm the problem now. This isn't going to change. Even if it did, it would take too much time. So why wait around? I've now got that choice. I value myself enough that I don't have to do that. That doesn't mean the whole system's broken. You know, it might be okay for many others, but maybe I value my choice more than them. Maybe I've spent an extra few years on building that choice. I'm not 100% sure, and I don't think it matters, like, because it's each to their own. But basically, after that sort of frustration, that anxiousness, that stress, that all that exercise and yoga to recalibrate, I sort of realized that there was sort of like a real calm that came across me, and it was like, man, this is just a job. Like you said, we spend 30 to 40% of our time here. Like, we're in Australia, and that's like really fortunate. And maybe I couldn't do this if I was in another country with an economy that wouldn't allow me to do so. But I'm in Australia right now. I could go work at the Coles checkout, or I could go like work on any other job as a laborer, or as a garbage disposal, or anything that would just be like relaxing and not have to worry about it. I don't want to do those jobs. It doesn't mean that they're not good jobs either. But the point is that we've got opportunity. We have choice. And I was like, I don't need to do that. And I think each day you're so flustered that you probably deal with it 2 or 3 months more than what you would if you weren't as flustered. Like, if that was your partner that was causing that much grief, or a friend causing that much grief, or someone that you'd met down the street causing that much grief, you'd probably just tell them to go away or leave you alone or just end it right there with the relationship. But because there's money involved, there's so much overthinking and this level of complexity that we put on earning a wage and sustaining a life, I think sort of gets the better of us sometimes. But I stripped it all back, and there's reasons why I haven't bought a house and had a kid and all that sort of stuff. So I'm not saying that, you know, if you have 4 kids and 2 mortgages that you could just quit your job on in a month like I kind of did. It would take more time and planning, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't value your choice as much.
Yeah. And what
and
I want
to just take some better planning. That's all.
And what I want to add to that is, the funny thing is, for me, like in my first couple of jobs, when I was unhappy, it would take me about a year to actually make a move, and going through this intense period of questioning and, you know, being in that loop. But this time I'd say, yeah, it was 2 months of it getting kind of bad. And then the last month was like really bad. And I remember thinking, I'm proud that it's only taken me 1 month of it being this intense for me to make a decision, when in the past it would have absolutely taken me a year or more.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you'd find that was quite, like quite a bizarre feeling for those involved who you had to tell, because most people don't just snap like that. I mean, even though it wasn't just like a snap, like as in a brain fade, that was a 1 month of conscious thought. There's, you know, loads of hours. There's a couple thousand, a few hundred hours at least in a month. So you've thought about it, but in the business sense, when people are probably used to employees going down this unhappy path for 6 to 12 months, being complete drain of resources, being completely inefficient, having to get written warnings, having to get walked out the door, it's sort of like pulling hen's teeth. It's always this sort of negative experience. But, or the other one is that, hey, I've just got a new job, I want to hand in my resignation, thank you. And now the conversation about the lack of unfulfillment usually isn't had, because it's masked by the I've got a new job, which is that new piece in my life that I'm just going to forget about the last piece and move on to the next one, because it's that one up on the corporate ladder or the social ladder. But I think this one being a unique situation, because there was neither of those, but it was premeditated. There was a rapid decline in your emotional well-being and connection at work over a month period. Mm-hmm. And we don't need to justify it in any other way.
And I left
more than enough.
And I left on honest terms as well, which is why I can openly talk about it on this podcast and not feel like I have to shy away from it, because, you know, I was honest about the reason why I was leaving, which was unfulfillment.
And there was feedback given, and it's not malicious. So
we
move on, and who knows where we end up next. We may all end up back at that company or the next company again. So I would always, advise, finish up on good terms. Wherever it is that you go or whatever you do, try your best to, again, be honest, like give that feedback that you need. Like, I know Andra's feedback was like really like strong, and that can be taken the wrong way, but that's fine. As long as you're honest, one day there may be an opportunity to go back or to that organization that you've worked at, because it's definitely happened in my life twice where I've gone back to
companies. I think for me, it's again, comes back to culture. How I thought about it is, if I'm not welcome or I'm disrespected because I'm just being honest, then it's not a company that I want to be a part of. Because I wasn't malicious. I wasn't trying to be mean. I was just really honest about the situation.
Yep.
And I think that
honesty and feedback's a gift.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like one from your auntie at Christmas. Like you don't just pick up the feedback or the gift and just throw it away. You open it. You look at it and you say thank you no matter what. And it's your choice whether you wear that cheesy t-shirt from her trip to Paris or put the magnet on the fridge. You might not like
He's
the
not
gift.
Talking about my auntie. I was like, didn't my auntie give me the advice? Okay.
You may not like the gift, but receive it with open arms.
Yeah.
And then it's up to you later how you implement, I guess, the feedback that is the gift.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So what are we doing? What are the next 10 or so episodes about?
Yeah. So what we're going to do is celebrate the launch of our podcast called The 8 Billion Effect. Now there's 8 billion of us on the world, on the planet, as of about 2024, they predict. So we're sitting at 7.7 billion. And honestly, we want to look at how we can pull levers to help make people happier, help them be more fulfilled, help them live a more meaningful life in the digital age. And not to be scared of technology and innovation, but how we can use old traditional techniques such as storytelling, such as creativity to really drive that future and impact it. So the next 10 episodes are really going to be a mission on how do we rethink success and basically being appreciated in the workplace. So selecting the right companies to work for.
People to work for or I'm with.
Yeah, and what skills you're trying to acquire from that opportunity. So rather than seeing ourselves as a drone for the company or us working for the company, it has to be switched the other way around, that they're working for you. What can I get from you? What skill can I acquire? Then it's, I can trade you with my skill set. I can trade you with my hustle or my hard work or my loyalty to this organization. But what can you give me? Is it a leader that you're going for? Is it a vision that you're going for? Is it an actual company or their values that you're going for? Selecting rather than on just a brand name or a business name because they IPO'd or they've grown 5X in the last year or they're this big or that big. It's literally starting to select businesses or jobs based on what you want to unlock for that selection criteria of choice that you're looking for 5-10 years from now.
Yeah, cool.
Cool.
I'm excited.
Same. See you next time.